Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Whirlwind, a Friends to Lovers Rockstar Romance by Kat Porter. Narrated by Sophia Willingham and James Foey. 1.
What the hell are we doing here?
Derek tapped out a dull beat on the table.
I didn't know it was open mic night. I hate open mic nights.
I knew it was open mic night, which was why I'd insisted that we come here tonight to Pete's Tavern, our local watering hole, a classic old bar in our small town in the Black Hills. I like open mic nights. I also liked pushing Derek's buttons. There are a lot of talented people out there, and this is their opportunity to perform, to be seen and heard.
There are a lot of jerks out there.
Scowling, Derek scanned the crowded bar, his other hand joining in on the tedious rhythm, if you could call it a rhythm. I drained the last of my whiskey sour. He didn't get it. He never would. I pushed my empty glass to the center of the table. I need another drink.
Why do I have to go?
Derek's gaze lingered at the table of sexily clad biker girls across from us. It's packed in here, and there's no sign of a waitress. More importantly, everyone here knows me, and therefore knows I'm underage. I never had problems at local bars when I was with my older brother's friends. Derek, Meg and Joe, Tracy and Gil, we're all 23, but why push it? I had another month to go until my 21st birthday. Come on, here's some money. I shoved a $10 bill his way. He took it and tapped Joe on the arm. Joe disengaged from Meg's mouth and went with him to the bar. Members of the local motorcycle club, the One-Eyed Jacks, were here with their old ladies and a couple of bikers from other clubs with their much younger girlfriends, who Derek had been checking out. I recognized Finger, the club president from Nebraska, who'd been dating a local woman, Lenore, one of my mom's good friends. I swallowed hard at the sight of him. He defined the term fearsome outlaw. Brutality and danger had been chronicled all over him, literally. The middle fingers of both his hands were missing, in addition to deep scars on his face that must have been horrible gashes made by a knife once upon a time. Combined with his height, muscularity, tattoos, and gritty handsomeness, he made for one ominous, scary, and pretty damned intriguing figure. To me, he was the personification of that forbidden, darker, other side of life. This morning, Finger had shown up at Mom's coffee house, and electricity had charged in the air, a sudden tense hush gripping the morning crowd. Bikers came through meager all the time, but that man was different. That man commanded respect and awe, and hadn't even said a word yet. It had reminded me of when my horse and I had gotten stuck in a sudden storm on Grandpa's ranch years ago. We were in a wide-open field, and a massive lightning storm suddenly ripped through the sky. My breath cut, my heart stopped, my flesh prickled coldly. Trapped. A flash of cold fear. Ominous unpredictability. Here. Derek plonked a fresh whiskey sour on the table in front of me, and Joe set down a pitcher, beer sloshing over the rim. Thanks. I sucked down a huge swallow of my cold drink. I don't want to lose the nice buzz I have going on. Derek's hand gripped my thigh under the table, his beer breath fanning the side of my face. I'm looking forward to getting my buzz off later tonight. Oh yeah, baby, you're the man. Derek and I had been fooling around for several years now. He was my brother, Five's best friend. Once I'd gotten into high school, Five had made it clear on several embarrassing occasions that his friends had to stay away from his sister, and me from them. They'd readily agreed, of course, and I'd made it clear that I thought that edict was bullshit. I've always detested being told what to do by my brother. One by one, I'd fooled around with all of Five's friends, and I'd saved Derek for last.
The hottest of the bunch. He was Five's closest bud. With him, I'd had sex for the first time. He'd been so impressed, mostly with himself. Even though it didn't matter anymore, an air of that forbidden still lingered between us, which turned us both on. Derek often talked about it when we'd go at it, which only put a grin on my face as I'd come. Big grin, big win. In between Derek's girlfriends, of which there were many, or whenever he wanted to cheat, which was pretty often, I made myself available, depending on my mood. I would never be a sure thing for him, for any of them. A waitress brought a tray of shots to our table, and everyone swooped in. Derek pushed back his baseball cap and raised a full shot glass.
Are you having yours?
No, I'm good. You have it. He grinned and tossed back the shots, one after the other.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got a special guest with us.
Malcolm, the bar owner's voice, boomed through the speakers.
Please welcome to Pete's, Beck Lanier. His mom lives right here in Meeker.
I put my drink down. My back shot up straight. Beck was here tonight?
You may know his dad, Eric Lanier, of one of our all-time favorite bands, Cruel Fate.
Malcolm hooted, and the crowd applauded and cheered for the South Dakota rock band made good from over 20 years ago.
Beck's band, Free Fall, is on tour right now with The Heave. And tonight, Beck's gonna play for us.
Wait, what? I sputtered. The previously limp crowd came to life, whooping and applauding more loudly and sharply than they had all night. Beck was here and he was going to sing? Here? At freaking Pete's?
Who is this guy?
Derek asked Joe. Joe shrugged.
I don't fucking know.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Meg sat up tall in her seat, straining to take in the stage.
He's in that band, Free Fall. You know the song, The World is Tilting, Flipping.
Oh yeah, yeah, said Derek. I like that song.
Joe slunk back in his chair and took Meg with him in his lap. The blood rushed through my veins. Beck was Lenore's son, from her first marriage to Eric Lanier, a rock singer in a South Dakota band that had made it pretty big back in the day. After high school, Beck had formed a group, and they were signed by a record company pretty much straight out of the gate. I knew these things because I'd read everything I could get my hands on about Free Fall, since the band had released their first album last year. I kind of knew Beck. Our moms had introduced us 5 or 6 years ago, when Lenore had first moved to Meeker, and Beck had come from L.A. to visit her. Over the years of visiting his mom, Beck had become close friends with Wes, one of my good friends here in town. Beck and I had shared a series of quick hellos, brief smiles, hey, what's up, how you doings? Although we'd never really spoken at length or hung out, we knew each other, knew of each other. Free Fall's first album had made all the critics' and fans' top lists for the year. This year, they'd been on their first big tour as the opening act for The Heave, a top 10 band, on The Heave's Monster World Tour, which was still on. My best friend Sarah and I had tried to get tickets to the show in Seattle, but it had been impossible. Now here he was in Meeker on his own, about to sing in our towny bar. He must be here visiting his mom. But why was he singing at a Pete's open mic night with all the amateurs and ambitious hopefuls? Beck got up on the small stage and settled onto a stool, adjusting the microphone stand. My pulse did a double take. He was more outrageously attractive than the last time I'd seen him. Taller, more muscly in a lean kind of way, his hair longer and unruly, in the sexiest kind of way. I swallowed down more whiskey sour, an icy wash flooding my burning throat. Beck was the lead guitarist, sometimes piano player, and main songwriter for his group, but he wasn't the lead singer in Free Fall. He often sang backup for the lead singer or sang along with them, but never sang solo. I drained my glass, crunched on the ice. This is a moment. The lights dimmed, the lone spotlight settling on Beck, who was warming up a guitar, the muscles in his long arms flexing and working in his cut-off t-shirt.
He stopped and raised his head, and in the bright light, his eyes shone impossibly blue-green, just like his mom's. His boyishly innocent face now serious, he leaned into the microphone.
"This is for you, Mom. Kill me now."
With his velvet pronouncement, the whole bar fell into complete silence. There was never such a silence in Pete's. Clear notes filled the room as Beck played an intricate web of chords, making that wooden instrument in his hands sing. His wavy, longish, dark blonde hair fell in his eyes as his body moved with the music he was making. He leaned into the mic again, and I held my breath. On the edge of my seat, on the ledge, his voice washed over me like a warm, perfumed bath. There was a purity, a clarity, an ease to his tone. Simple, yet so rich. His emotion built with every verse. I closed my eyes. He could be singing just to me. He was. The steady tempo grew dramatic. It built, built as he drove into faster rhythms with a punch of verses, a jolt of chords. Rough breathiness showed through on his higher notes, yet all with that velvet ease. His voice had a unique sensuality. The blood simmered in my veins. There was something so magnetic and charismatic about his onstage presence, even though he was only 22 and had been performing for only a few years. He had it. My heart ticked with a new beat. I soaked it all in. I didn't want to miss a second. I wanted to remember it always. I wouldn't have torn myself away even if a tornado came blowing inside Pete's this very second. My fingers closed over my phone, and I brought up my camera. I got back into frame, took a rapid succession of photos. I hit video. He sang about a powerful storm, about the terrible, fantastic noise of a waterfall that dared him, kept him moving forward. How he wanted more. Was his mother the storm? The waterfall? Yes, she was. He danced in her wind, sang in her roar. He held Lenore's gaze, who moved to the music and fingers embrace, captivated by her son's tribute. She had inspired these beautiful, powerful lyrics. This moving song was a ballad, filled with intense emotion that he let breathe in the air like a freshly opened bottle of fine wine. The flavor became more intense, mesmerizing to my nose, exhilarating to my tongue.
"He's good, huh?"
Derek's arm moved around my chair, his body suddenly close to mine. The urge to swat him away like a fly came over me. I shut the video. I'd forgotten about him and his friends. I'd forgotten about everything else. My body stiffened, leaning away from his, and I took more pics.
"There she goes again,"
Derek muttered.
"Shh."
Beck's voice soared, laying bare the final verse, and something pinched my heart, twisting it, mangling it. The grip I had on my phone only tightened. I clung on for dear life. The way he pulled notes out of that guitar was striking. Playing that instrument was instinctive for him, intuitive. His final chords hung in the air, vibrating in my soul, dissipating in the bar. All that emotion pulled through us all. Beck's eyes closed, his hands stilled, his lips pursed. He'd finished. I took more pics. I had to capture this. His eyes blinked open as if he had summoned himself out of a trance. A moment of self-consciousness must have swept over him, because his gaze snapped away from the audience and went back to the guitar in his hands. The crowd erupted into a roar, clapping wildly, whistling. Everyone was on their feet. I was, with my fingers to my lips, sending sharp, loud whistles through the air. Meg was next to me, hopping up and down, whooping and clapping, hair flying. Lenore ran to the stage, face flushed. Beck put the guitar down and leaned over and hugged his mother, lifting her up on the small stage with him. the two of them speaking to each other, rocking back and forth in each other's tight embrace. My heart beat wildly, uncontrollably. I grinned from ear to ear. My vision got watery, and I sniffed in air to will the tears away. Why did this make me sad? Sad, but so full of joy. I was so unhappy, that's why. What Beck just did was everything that was right, true, honest, inspiring. My chest tightened. My cheek stung. What had I accomplished so far? Still gripping at ripped seams, still stirring my bubbling cauldron of anger and grief and so many other dark, bitter poisons. Beck was being true to himself, expressing that truth from his heart out to the world through his work. That was brave, so bold, and, I imagined, so incredibly satisfying. A dream. Lenora dove off the stage, back into Finger's arms. Beck shook hands with Malcolm, who thumped him on the back. People jostled to take photos of the two of them with their phones, flashes of light bursting.
Let's get out of here, huh?
Derek's voice cut through the air. My jaw tightened. Everything that was pathetic and stubborn about me was in that lazy drawl of Derek's I had once found appealing. His hand went to my back, and my body shrank at his touch. Everything that was fake, dull, and meaningless about me and Derek was in that touch. A scream thundered up my throat, but I choked it to a halt. I was good at exerting willpower over myself, but that dam would break soon if... My Grandma Holly had once told me about Oprah Winfrey's idea of the positive no. How important it was for a woman to understand this, to use it. Now, for the first time, it clicked. I completely understood what she meant. Finally. Absolute clarity. My chin lifted. No.
Huh?
Derek's head tilted. That "are you shitting me, what the hell are you talking about" look crawling across his face. He didn't like being told no. Ever. And he certainly wasn't used to being told no by a girl. I need to go. I got up from the table.
What? What the?
Where was I going? Didn't know, didn't matter. Just away. 2. I pushed through the crowd.
Hey!
Derek's voice got strangled in the noise of the throng as I slid through the mass of people. My heart beat faster, louder. A grin perked over my lips. Positive fucking no had slayed the paper dragon. Fresh air. I needed fresh air. The melodic notes of a piano rose over the now softer, pleased din of the crowd. Laughter and clinking glass muted as I made it down the back hallway to one of the emergency exit doors. I knew the alarm didn't work. A cousin of mine bartended here for years, and I knew this place inside and out. I shoved at the heavy door, and it opened wide. Cold air washed over me, and I gulped it in, keeping my grip tight on the door's metal handlebar. It would lock me out if I didn't. I took in another gulp and stepped back inside, closing the door carefully. My body slumped back against the wall, with only the one red-lit exit sign above the door for company. A soft groan rose up a few feet away from me, and my body tightened. I blinked, turning toward the groan, stepping back. Someone else was in this darkness with me. A guy, his arm outstretched against the wall, leaning over. Was he dizzy? Then he wasn't doing much better than I was. I took a step forward, and in the red glow of the exit sign, I could make out wavy hair, long lean arms, and a cut-off shirt. My pulse slapped me. My body stood at attention. It was Beck. Hey. My voice was more like a croak in the bristling silence of the hallway. I moved toward him. He took long, deep breaths. Beck? Are you okay? He jerked back from the wall, his hand brushing at his mouth, narrowing eyes meeting mine in the dim red glow.
Would he remember me? Violet? Tingles raced over my skin. He remembered me. Yeah, it's me. Are you okay? He sniffed in air. A hand slid around his throat. Silver rings on his long fingers gleamed in the dimness. Yeah, I'm better now. Do you need water? A bottle of tequila? He let out a tight laugh as he fell back against the wall, his hands digging through his hair, sweeping it away from his beautiful face. So beautiful. A tight jawline, flexing muscles along that jaw, revealing pronounced cheekbones that in this shadowy dimness made me itch to capture that remarkable face on film. Those unique, bright blue-green eyes paired with long, full lashes gave him a boyish sweetness that made for an intriguing contrast to his rough edges. He wore a number of rings, and both wrists were stacked in bracelets. Silver, metal, beads, leather. His black leather belt had metal grommets, which added a bit of edgy to his sexy, laid-back bohemian vibe. Maybe a little dirty, too. My teeth scraped over my lower lip. You sure you're okay? He cleared his throat. I needed a moment after. Of course. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come up on you like that. I'll get out of your way. No, Violet, you're not in my way. Stay. He moved to his side, still leaning against the wall, but now facing me. Please stay. His voice was suddenly a rough whisper that stopped me in my tracks. Okay. Both of us stared at the other. Say something, Violet. You were fantastic up there on stage. Thanks. His arms wrapped around his middle. The song was beautiful, and the way you sang was beautiful. Ugh, I lost my vocabulary and sounded like a starstruck fangirl. Wait, I was a fangirl. I pushed my hair away from my face. You have a real gift, Beck. You got up out of nowhere on that stage and... I was babbling again. Leave the guy alone. My lips pressed together. And? I lifted my gaze to his sea crystals. To hell with it, blame the whiskey sours. And you blew us all away. An eyebrow lifted, lips parted. Your voice, that song, those lyrics for your mom. I don't think I'll ever forget it. My voice shook as I spilled the words. I never got nervous talking to people. This was different. This conversation bit straight to my quick. Why? He asked. Why? Tell me. The words stampeded up my throat. I knew exactly why. Your bare honesty, your creative truth. You, up there, expressing a deep, real part of yourself through your own work. And it was so natural for you, so sincere. You laid out your heart, and it was the most powerful thing I've ever witnessed. I envy that. I admire you. He stood up straight. Violet. He said nothing more, a ragged silence stretching between us. Had I embarrassed him, or just embarrassed myself? I wanted to zip into the nearest hole in the wall, like a cartoon mouse. Let me get you a bottle of water. There's a stash over here. My face blazed with heat, and I darted toward the stacked packs of juices and water bottles in the small storage area of the hall. Clawing at the thick plastic in the dark, I willed my face to not be beet red by the time I was finished. Finally, I was able to yank a water bottle free from its plastic prison. Here you go. It's not cold. It's perfect, thanks. He cracked open the top and drank deeply, his throat moving. He wiped at his wet lips and met my gaze. This is going to sound stupid. Try me. All these months on tour, I haven't gotten stage fright or nervous before a gig. Not once. All those cities, thousands of people in these insane arenas. Nope. Just excitement. Every time I chomp at the bit to get out there and play, have fun with the crowd. But stepping out there tonight, now, freaked me the fuck out. You were out there alone, and maybe because this performance was so personally meaningful? You were playing for your mom and her town, not for the anonymous masses with your band opening for another band.
Yeah, exactly. He let out a heavy breath, his lips tipping up into a small smile. There's a lot going on right now.
His defined shoulders relaxed. It's odd to be off the tour roller coaster and in the real life world for just a couple of days. I'll bet Meager must be a super shock to your system. I let out a dry laugh. What was a tiny town in South Dakota compared to all the major cities of the United States? I got here, and suddenly everything's at a different pace, and I have no idea how to keep pace, or even if I want to. At this point, I'm not sure which is crazier, real life or touring. That's so great that you took the time to come all the way here to visit your mom.
I had to. He leaned a hand against the wall. Mom called me and told me she was getting married. I wanted to meet her man, so I zipped up here the minute we had a break.
Yes, Finger. How did that go? Do you like him? Did you hit it off, or...
Violet!
I raised my hands in the air. I'm sorry, those are all really personal questions.
No, it's okay. Really. I haven't talked about it with anyone. He's a good man.
You live here, you know my mom. Have you met Finger?
A few times at the coffee house, and I've seen him and Lenora around town together.
They fit.
They do. That's a great way to put it.
I'm so happy for her. It's just a shock.
He averted his gaze when he let that word out.
Oh, it was unexpected?
Totally. Completely. All my life, the sure thing was that my mother belonged to no man, did her own thing her way, and screw you if you didn't dig it. I respected that, admired it even. She'd always seemed comfortable with being on her own. That's the way it was with her. Total opposite from my dad, by the way. But that's always been my mom. End of story. Now the story changed.
His head tilted, he shifted his weight.
Yeah. The story changed.
The ache in his voice sent a stab of heat through my chest. Beck's mom was one very shrewd, very tough woman. Although not a smiley, happy-go-lucky kind of lady, Lenore was always pleasant and polite, and underneath, always tough as nails. Down to earth and salt of the earth, tell it like it is. My mother had once remarked about Lenore. Exactly that. Both glamorous and grungy, tattooed from head to toe, Lenora was a lingerie and clothing designer and sold her pieces at her boutique in town, in addition to a number of sex toys, all of which caused a stir at first. She definitely moved to the beat of her own drum. Men and women were both turned on and intimidated by her. Of course, she was close friends with all the biker old ladies in town. I always sensed Lenore could slice you with her brisk smile. It was a sharp blade filed with derision. She was my superhero. Beck's hand went to the back of his neck and rubbed. He was uncomfortable. So I guess to suddenly hear your mom tell you that she was getting married flipped me the fuck out, in plain English. His voice was raw. He took another swig of water. Turns out she and Finger knew each other a long time ago. They were each other's first loves. This new information was a revelation to him, a jolt. I always thought she had a secret, locked down deep inside her. He wiped at his lips. But I never realized that it could be this.
Oh, wow. I get it.
I never knew about her life before my dad. Nothing about her past. She never wanted to talk about it and never did. And from what little she told me now, I get the feeling that her past was pretty brutal and really dangerous. She'd lived a whole other crazy lifetime before she met my dad, before I came along.
He took in a tight breath. You couldn't have known. She didn't want you to know. Maybe it was hard for her to deal with.
Yes,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?